Well, happy Sabbath, brethren. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 6. In Psalm chapter 6, I actually wrote this a verse from this psalm in my letter this week. And that's what inspired my sermonette. It's a related topic. This is a psalm of David, played on a beautiful instrument. A beautiful stringed instrument, sung no doubt with the sense of sadness, but also crying out to God for mercy, for protection, and for healing. If we've never felt that way before in our lives, then maybe we've never known the regret of sin, or the pain of heartache, or the physical pain that comes from injury, disease, or growing old. But of course, I know, and you know, that isn't true. We have felt this way before. Psalm chapter 6, verse 1. David writes, and we can imagine him singing this. I'm not going to sing for you today, unfortunately. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. So it's this cry for mercy from God. Nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. That's that feeling of being small, that feeling of being helpless in so many ways, weak in all kinds of ways. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. I've heard a few people this week have trouble with their legs, being able to get up and walk around easily. I get that sense from David. Of course, he was a man that was often at war, and no doubt his body took a lot of damage that way. Verse 3, my soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Kind of the sense of, where are you, God? How long are you going to leave me in this situation? Verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. And we've felt like that before. Suffering the pains of life is part of the human experience. Now, we don't have to like it. In fact, it's okay that we do not like that aspect of the life that we lead. It's okay. It's not what God desires for us forever. But it's a powerful and sometimes constant reminder that the physical world is not meant for lasting forever. It's also a reminder from our God that we need Him, both now and in the future. It isn't that, you know, if our pain is all gone, then we don't need God anymore. But our pain, our anguish, is often a reminder that we need our God both now and in the future. We need and desire healing and forgiveness today. But everything that happens today, everything we go through, prepares us for the future, prepares us for tomorrow. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul wrote about this very thing to the congregation in Corinth. He puts it in an interesting way. A way that should help us give us some proper perspective in our situation. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, Paul writes, therefore, we do not lose heart. So all these things happen to us. We have these physical bodies, this heartache, this pain and anguish, even from our own sins that we're striving to overcome, that we're seeking forgiveness for. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Even though we have all these pains, these sorrows, the inward man with God in our life is being renewed day by day. The physical body is not meant to last forever. We are to be renewed and refreshed by the presence of God, as Paul writes it, day by day. And this can happen day by day, every day. Verse 17, I love how Paul puts our affliction. He says, for our light affliction. Our light affliction. In other words, the things that we go through, but in perspective, in the perspective of eternity, they are small. In the perspective of what other people have gone through and are going through, they are small. Not to downplay any of the things that we struggle with or strive against or that affect us. But Paul says, these are our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The things that we go through help us prepare for the future more deeply. God is renewing us, and sometimes through pain and suffering, he helps us with that renewal. And that's sometimes hard for us to grasp. Partially, he helps us that way to be renewed by desiring that healing, understanding that we need that healing. If we were never in pain, how would we know to seek healing? And also partially so that we can relate to others who have gone through similar pains. I think it's good to think about that. That doesn't mean that we go out looking for pain. Don't get me wrong, that's not the right idea. But when we come across pain and anguish, the things that we go through, do we understand that God is allowing those things in our lives to prepare us for tomorrow, to prepare us for helping our brethren even today? We are building that godly character and patience and empathy. We are building dependence on our God, and we are building humility, great humility, so that we can better reign with Jesus Christ tomorrow. In verse 18, Paul continues, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Sometimes we get caught up in the things that are right in front of us, the hurts, the struggles, and we forget or lose sight of the things that are not yet seen, the hope that we have. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we are supposed to focus on eternal things. Too often we're weighed down by the things that we see, that we feel, that we hear. We feel the pains in our bodies. We suffer disease. We feel anxieties and pressures of life. We feel the guilt and pressures of sin. But these light afflictions are only for a little while. And we can thank God for that. And we pray for what is to come. Romans chapter 8. Our pain cannot be compared with the great things that are to come. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul writes about this. It's very profound. He puts it all in perspective. You know, and it might seem strange initially. If the glory to come is so great, why do we suffer pain today? But again, we are preparing for tomorrow in a way that only the pain and sufferings of today can help us with. Jesus Christ, he came and lived as a human, endured the pain and suffering, endured against sin, and he can relate to us, and we are going to be able to relate to other people in that way. And we know that the sufferings that we experience, they're here, you know, for reasons, because of the choices that mankind has made, including ourselves, but also, if we had everything, then do you think we would make the choice to follow God if we already had everything we thought we needed? Now, we're not going to read through this whole passage. This is a great passage. We see in this passage even the yearning of the creation itself that is under a certain type of bondage, awaiting the glory that is to come, the resurrection of the saints, the changing of our physical bodies into spirit. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. Even death will be done away with, and we look forward to that day. We have been called to persevere. Verse 25 reminds us, "If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." We persevere. We've been called to persevere, to hope, not just to endure pain and suffering, but to hope for that time that is to come. We have such a great hope ahead of us. And if we keep that in perspective, the things that we endure, they won't seem so difficult. They won't seem so bad if we remember that they are only temporary. But of course, we should always be reminded that God gives us the strength to hope and endure through our suffering.